Welcome to the intersection of personal and professional development. This is Audio Motivation. Hi, everybody. It's Andy O'Brien again for Audio Motivation. Thanks for joining us. And today I'm with someone that I had interviewed about 10 years ago for this same Audio Motivation, but it was totally different era. And we're so pleased to have Edie Rather back with us. Edie is a corporate keynote speaker and trainer. She's empowered over 3,500 professional associations and Fortune 500 companies on five continents, including companies like IBM, General Motors, Oscar Mayer, the Marriott Corporation, Avon, as well as entrepreneurs. And that's what I'd kind of like to get into today, Edie, is getting into the whole brain performance for an entrepreneur, because I know that's one of your areas of expertise. So welcome to the program.
Well, it's always good to be here, but it's scary to think 10 years have passed.
I know. Where does the time go?
Oh, it's a blink, honey. It's a blink.
So thanks for joining us. And I really want to tap into your expertise on the entrepreneur mindset, because so many people are trying to make a go of it online, and whether it's online or offline, small business owners or people like coaches or speakers or authors or trainers or whatever. And they're running up against their mindset issues. And that's what's really acted as a roadblock, don't you think, in terms of, limiting their own potential?
Well, I think, the human condition is to get discouraged. And what's interesting, Andy, as much as I might do motivational speaking and you have all of your motivational stuff going on, do you know by nature that we are actually neurologically programmed to be negative? Does that surprise you?
Yeah, it's almost, it seems like it's a default, and it does surprise me because, why would that be? It's counterintuitive,
Yeah. And the bottom line is, I feel like I'm positive, you're positive, but I think people have to realize that we have to work at keeping that as our norm. And the reason for that is, and I won't get into a lot of the neuroscience, but it is what it goes back to. And we talk about the triune brain, the cerebral cortex that makes decisions, how we're different than the rest of the animal kingdom. And then the emotional brain, and then the sometimes called reptilian lizard brain, the instinctual brain. And so we still have that instinctual brain of fight, flight, freeze. And we have that tiger on the mount, hypervigilance. And some people have more of it than others. I don't have enough of it. I often say I wish I had been born, in the Bronx in New York City, because I have allowed myself some pretty heavy losses because I am just so trusting. And I am not very hypervigilant. I'm probably more positive than most. That's the good part. That's why I bounce back. But it also is why I'm not very protective of myself. Now, some people are very extreme with that. They may act it out with being OCD, or we call them anal. And it may be to an extreme where they absorb all their energy into, crossing the T's, dotting the I's, which is good. I should have done more. But they do so much of it that they limit their creativity and their expansive thinking. So it's really a juggling, it's a balancing act that goes on between these three kind of tiers in the brain.
Okay, let's get deeper into that then, because I'm fascinated. And I'm sure the people listening to this are thinking, okay, we're probably just scratching the surface here. And you have a lot of books. And so I'm wondering, some of the books that you've done on leadership and how winners think and principles of influence. And I mean, it seems like there's a common thread in those books, right? How can we kind of take that and run with it in terms of, reaching our fullest potential as an entrepreneur?
Well, that's an interesting thought, because I have looked at how the books evolved, and being an extreme right brainer, I'm very random and yet things fall together. So right brain people will understand that. It's true when I decorate my house, I pick up all this stuff from Goodwill and I put it together. My last house was Home and Garden Channel. And so random thinkers will kind of understand that. But, you know, the first book, Why Cats Don't Bark, is on your soul's code and calling and intuition. So the bottom line is, everybody on this line needs to know that you're not here by chance, really. There is a special calling for each of us. A lot of the research I did there was based on, it's been a while, John, but it was called Your Soul's Code. And so we all kind of come with a rubber stamp. Now, the sad thing is that most people live and die and never sing their song. And I always say, don't die with the music in you.
Right.
So the other part of that book is really intuition. It's being able to connect with that intuitive intelligence. Now, and I did kind of trademark the term intuitive intelligence, the other IQ, because, you know, we have emotional intelligence. And I think in the next wave, and I want to be on the frontier of that, is intuitive intelligence, which kind of lingers, it overlaps with emotional intelligence and then goes into a little bit of that instinctual intelligence that, you know, we see in our cats and our dogs. They hear a sound and they immediately are on the alert and their brain goes into an automatic search. And so then I wrote Sex for the Soul. Now that was probably, I do have a psychotherapy, marriage, family counseling background. And that sexuality is a path to spirituality. But then I wrote Winning. And Winning was an endorsement of everything in Why Cats Don't Bark, but not by intention. I wanted to find out, what do winners share? What is the common thread, as you put it, in those people who climb bigger mountains? And, you know, Jack Canfield is in there, John Azaraf, Rosa Parks, Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jordan. Some I interviewed personally, some I took other people's interviews. And there were a couple things, and I'll just share a couple.
Great.
That they did have in common. One of them, Andy, listen to this. They all had a flash of their greatness between the ages of 3 and 9, probably more so 4 or 5 to 7, 8. Now, the other thing was struggle. And I just had a couple in here last night because I still do marriage and family counseling. And I'm like, kick your kids out of the house. They're adults now. We have too many parents that are enabling and they give to their kids because they can. They have more money than their parents did. I always met my kids halfway. You know, you work in the summer, I'll pay for your college, because I could. But you better, and I didn't expect them to work during the college time. But you got to meet me halfway. If you don't, you're on your own. And more parents need to get into that tough love, because every successful person in that book, they all had the virtues of struggle. But listen to this. So, and this is part of the entrepreneurial mind, which I do believe I have, and I am going to encourage those listening to have. It is expansive thinking. It's thinking, what next? It's like, you know, in the woods, tracking the deer trail. It's, so then I put those two together, and guess what I come up with? And this is my calling in life. I have a children's program. I believe I can fly. And I thought, wait a minute, there's just millions of kids that don't have that flash of greatness, as Oprah Winfrey did. She was watching TV at 5 years old, was watching and said, oh my gosh, I could do that. Look where she is. So all of us come into the world with that kind of potential, with those kinds of seeds of greatness. And we never develop it. So I developed a children's program to wire kids to have those flashes of greatness if they don't spontaneously have it. And to come back to what you were saying about the entrepreneurial spirit and mindset, it's exactly that. You climb one mountain, you write one book, then the other book kind of proves the first one right. Then you carry that to a children's program where you wire children's minds so that we're not undoing and redoing. Do you see what I'm saying? And you have to never say, I'm done.
Okay, excellent. And this is a nice dovetail into my next question, because, and I hope I'm not going to throw you a curveball here, but I
like curveballs.
Oh, good.
That's part of the entrepreneur. We love challenges.
Well, I'm an entrepreneur myself, and I've kind of been struggling with something, and I'm going to run it past you. Someone posted on Facebook the other day that if you're struggling with something, then you should just let it go. It means that it's not meant to be. It's not your thing. It's a sign, and you should just nip it in the bud and stop, quit while you're ahead or whatever. But that conflicts with, you know, what you were just talking about in terms of the struggle in order to, you know, climb that mountain. And so who's right, or are they both right?
Oh my God, Andy, I am never wrong.
I know.
You know what, honey? And this is what drives me crazy, is that everybody's looking for the silver bullet, the formula, the magic answer. I don't know if you're old enough to remember theory X, and then theory Y, and then theory Z, and then Deming. And I know that Procter & Gamble, I used to live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and all these big companies would spend millions. And then they would go to the opposite end of the pendulum. And you know why people are swinging around like a pendulum, a ping pong ball? Is because there is no magic bullet. So when somebody says, just let it go, oh, how nice. We love it. It sounds so simple. It solves all our problems. All I have to do is meditate, say kumbaya, and let it go, and I will go back to a place of peace, serenity, nirvana. But you won't get a lot done. Now, I believe, I do yoga. I believe in my children's program even has visualization and meditation and mindfulness. So I believe in all of that. But you got to choose what you want to let go of. Honey, if you want something, oh my God, is that not passivity, Andy? It drives me crazy. Oh, just let it go. Oh, I'm having a hard time in math class. Oh, okay, a little bit of struggle. Let's just do what's comfortable and convenient. Let it go. Are you kidding me? That's why we have the dumbing of America today, because people want what's comfortable and what's convenient. And I'm going to tell you, if that's the road you want, just go flip hamburgers at McDonald's. And don't think you have an entrepreneurial spirit. Now, can people be struggling with something because it's not who they are? Let me give you an example. I'm an off-the-chart right brainer. Would I make a good CPA? Are you kidding me? You kidding? I hate numbers. I have to use my fingers and toes. Okay, if I'm struggling because my parents told me to be a CPA and no off-the-chart right brainer should even consider that, but there are a lot of people that are programmed, you know, be a doctor, be a nurse, be a lawyer, be this. And they're in the wrong field and they're struggling because it's not how they're wired. I'm also certified in right brain, left brain dominance, not just the conscious and the subconscious. And so then that, yes, then let go of it. But if it's something you really want, and remember, your intuition is never wrong. It is never wrong. Our interpretation of it can be wrong. So if a person says, oh, I just know my son's going to get in an accident tonight, that is worrisome, fearful thinking. That's somebody that may be neurotic. Now, they could be right if it is honest intuition. And then there's people that just, you know, they break up in a relationship. I just know he's going to come back or she's going to come back. Let's not be biased here. And that might be wishful thinking. But if you can clear the screen of worrisome and wishful thinking and truly get pure intuition, it is never, ever wrong. And when your gut says, yeah, it's time to let it go because this is not you, it's not in alignment with your core genius, then let it go. But if it's something you really want and it is in alignment, oh my gosh. Do you think, I mean, everybody in winning had to struggle. There's a guy in there who's a motivational speaker. And, you know, he packed the only suitcase he had, a paper bag, saved up $13 because his parents were on drugs, and went to live with his grandma. His brother's in prison. He's doing very well as a motivational speaker telling his story. Now, was there a little struggle? Yeah, he had to save up the $13. He was only about 12 years old. But does it make a difference? Yeah, of course. And in a world of push-button love and instant success, we need more persistence and perseverance. As long as it is true, to thine own self be true. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That was great. And so really go with your gut. I mean, and that's what I decided. I decided that, you know, this is really what I was meant to do. But I think a lot of people are struggling with that. And I hope they don't give up on the wrong things, you know?
Exactly. It's kind of like the Serenity Prayer. Accept the things that you, you know, cannot change. Change the things you can. So anything that's kind of a magic answer, if you're struggling, let it go. Ooh, that scares me. That's not wisdom.
Well, I'm going to give you an example. Like here with Audio Motivation, like here's this service that I'm kind of rekindling, and I book all these interviews, even, you know, the one with you as well. And what happens? Road work happens all week outside my window. So it's things like that. It's like, you know, I know that I'm on the right path with this, but then things like that just occur out of the blue that derail this kind of thing. Like, for instance, right now, someone's mowing their lawn outside my window. You can probably hear it.
And I can't.
So what is this? You know, why are these things happening? And I'm sure people can relate to this, and, you know, various people in their own struggles, and these like minute little annoyances pop up, and they're not signs necessarily. They're just little annoyances, right?
Yeah. And you know what we have to do? Every moment, honey, is a moment of choice. We have to choose how much energy or time we're going to put into something. I'm 73. Now, I'm a young 73. I water ski, I snow ski, and probably more physically active than most 20-year-olds.
That's awesome.
That's a fact. But I also, almost every week, another speaker dies, or last week a classmate died. I'm hearing that every day. So I'm really conscious. I'm not here forever. I got a lot I got to get done before I go. I got to take care of myself, because if I'm going to be around a long time and my gut is 103 or 107, I got a good 30 years to go. I got to take care of myself, because I don't want to be just limping along. So I got to choose, where am I going to put my time and energy? Whether we're talking about our jobs, our relationships, our children, life, whatever. And you know, in sales, all of us who are entrepreneurs, I think, have to do some sales and marketing. Of course we do. And there's a time, Andy, where we just have to say next. And I think too many times in sales, yeah, I think we put too much energy into something that goes nowhere. And here's the other point I want to make is, a lot of times we mistake activity for productivity.
Mm, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I know a lot of speakers that may be very, very busy. They're not making a lot of money. And I have to admit, there was a time I was running all over the country. There was a university that had women's leadership programs, and they didn't pay us. Now, I had products where I could justify it, but a lot of the women there did not. I don't know how they could justify it, because I could sometimes sell, you know, a couple $1,000 worth of product. And you get the exposure. You might get invited in by, you know, somebody from IBM that's attending. But there again, I look back at how much energy I put into it. And then, you know, was that really worth it? Doing speaker showcases, you can pay a grand, you got to pay to go. You've got to always evaluate, where are you getting your ROI, and stop doing what you're doing? Because we all have, that's the instinctual brain again. We get into a certain way of being and it's hard to make the shift. We're creatures of habit. So we always have to challenge ourselves or join a mastermind group or have somebody that we can bounce things off of. Because one of the biggest problems with entrepreneurs is that we work in silos, and that's very dangerous. It is.
Wow.
And how many times you just share an idea, Andy, with someone else? They don't even have to say anything. But as you're sharing it, it all becomes clear. Your direction is in bright lights. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you can kind of hear yourself talk about it, and it's almost like the either the confidence or the doubt comes right out as you're describing it, right?
Yeah. And you know what? And there's so much we wanted to get into on the brain, and I just love what we're talking about now. So we do have to do that another time if this really is only going to be 20 minutes.
I know, right?
Because I'm salivating. I like what we're talking about, but we're going to do more because I have so much to say on the brain. But I also think that entrepreneurs, and at this late stage, I'm finally getting it together. I think sometimes we have to form teams and partnerships. So, for example, my children's program. I happened to talk to somebody who works at GoDaddy, and he really wants, they're developing their own company. And I want to form a partnership. I don't want to pay people for time. I want to pay for performance. And the only way to really do that, I think, is partnership. Andy, if you really believe in yourself, you're going to make more money if you take a percent of what we make. If you don't, you want to get paid by the hour. And it's taken me forever to find that person, but I think I have. And so then those people that work with you have some skin in the game,
Yes.
but they have a guy that can put my children's program on an app.
Ooh.
I'm not techie, but do you see where I have been limited? Because I'm very creative. I've got the book. I can do the CD. I know all of that. But, you know, this day and age, which is so digital, I need to partner with somebody like that. To find it can be hard. I've gone through a lot of, quote, scumbags and scammers. So, you know, you just have to screen it. But I really think for those of us who are entrepreneurs, you know, Steve Jobs didn't work in a vacuum or a silo. I think you have to look at what are your missing links? What will complement you to go from where you are to where you want to be?
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, Edie, we definitely are going to have a part two of this.
You know what? We definitely do. And I'm almost angry we're getting cut off, but I understand it. Don't let me sit another 10 years. I'm 73, honey.
No, no, not at all, you know.
I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about next time. I want you to know, honey, that one half of a millionth of a percent is processed on the conscious level. I want you to know that people, come on, how many of you have the same New Year's resolutions year after year after year? Whether it's losing weight, you don't eat chocolate, you quit drinking, quit smoking, whatever. If goal setting alone worked, Andy, why do you have recycled goals? They're the same. You're not getting the job done. In our next interview, I'm going to tell you how to tap in. Remember what I said, a half of a millionth of a percent is on the conscious level. The neural network is dense on a deeper level. And if you want to rise to the top, you got to understand a little bit of neuroscience and NLP. And that's what we're going to talk about next time, because I'm going to give you the tools that will do exactly what you want.
Awesome. And actually, we have a both a podcast and a membership site. So this next one we'll put into the membership site because I think there's some gold in there that you'll be revealing. So let's do that.
I'm excited and always here to help.
Thanks so much, Edie. So where can people go? I know you have your website, edierather.com, and that's EDIERAETHER. Dot com. And so what do you what's what lies ahead for you in the coming months and next year?
You know what? I know I'm on this earth for the kids program. I listen to Las Vegas, the problems we have. I listen to the news, and I know I can change the way the world thinks one child at a time. So as much as I will continue doing the corporate work and the keynotes, this children's program has to get out there because parents have said they've seen a change in their child after 1 5-minute track on the CD. That's powerful.
Oh, man.
And as a therapist, as a speaker, you know, we're undoing and redoing. Let's do it right. So that is my biggest commitment. And you know, let's apply it to kids where we can really talk about prevention, not always like a dog chasing its tail.
That is the secret, isn't it? The
Yeah, it is.
prevention aspect, so.
And the site, I'm a little, I just spoke in Singapore, and I have a guy in Bangkok, and I'm a little disappointing. It's so there's work to be done. So if people do want to order, I don't know what's clicking and not clicking, but we're attending to it now. They can always get me at ed@raythor.com. Just put the at sign in between my first and last name.
Oh, okay, great.
Yep.
Perfect. Well, Edie, thanks so much. And until next time, and there will be a next time very soon. So let's just say to be continued.
I look forward. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Audio Motivation. Join us in our membership community for even more in-depth interviews, transcripts, and bonus gifts, all designed to keep you motivated and inspired.